The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Tuesday, July 27th. We have updates about new vaccine mandates, where millions more Americans, including teachers, police officers, and healthcare workers, now have to get a vaccine or face frequent COVID-19 testing. Also, a turning point for Americans in both Afghanistan and Iraq, we'll explain. Plus, why more flights include layovers these days, how the landscape of college sports seems to be changing, and which pop star is supporting athletes who refuse to wear their skimpy uniforms. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in about 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. You ready? Let's do this. A lot more healthcare workers could be pressured into getting their COVID-19 vaccine soon. A group of nearly 60 major medical organizations, like the American Medical Association, says anyone who works in healthcare should be required to get vaccinated. It says, quote, "The health and safety of U.S. workers, families, communities, and the nation depends on it." CBS News reports about 50 medical systems already have this kind of policy in place. And just yesterday, the Department of Veterans Affairs announced its own mandate. The VA says 115,000 frontline healthcare workers will have to get vaccinated in the next 2 months or face penalties that could include getting fired. That makes it the first federal agency to force employees to get the shots. Separately, the country's largest state and largest city gave government workers a choice. They can either get vaccinated or face weekly testing. We're talking about California and New York City. They both say government employees, including teachers and police officers, have to get COVID-19 vaccines or show proof of a recent negative COVID-19 test before they can work. California is also including millions of public and private sector healthcare employees in the mandate. Some critics have questioned whether this is legal. But when it comes to previous court rulings, judges have said mandates are reasonable and they've let them stand. More than a month after a tragic condo building collapse in Florida, the last victim has finally been identified. The final death toll has now reached 98, making it the largest non-hurricane emergency in the state's history. Victims ranged in age from 1 to 92. For weeks, rescuers have been painstakingly and emotionally moving debris from the piles of wreckage and pulling out bodies. Most of the rubble has been moved to a Miami warehouse, where scientists and rabbis are working to recover any more remains and personal items. There is still a growing makeshift memorial near the site of the collapse, but it's not clear what will happen to the area long term. Some condo owners want to rebuild, while others say there should be a permanent memorial in its place. Meanwhile, investigators are still looking into exactly what caused the building to crumble, and survivors, along with victims' families, are filing lawsuits demanding compensation. Sadly, innocent people are now dying in Afghanistan at record levels. The United Nations has recorded more than 1,600 civilian deaths so far this year. That's a 47% increase from last year. Nearly half of all the casualties were women and children. The UN thinks the violence could get even worse since the Taliban keeps taking over more rural areas. So far, the militant group's gains have coincided with foreign troops leaving Afghanistan. Most international forces have left already, and all American troops are on track to withdraw by the end of next month. By the way, President Biden says the U.S. military will soon wind down its mission in Iraq, too. There are around 2,500 American troops in Iraq now. They are mostly focused on countering what's left of the terrorist organization ISIS. Well, now, Biden says by the end of this year, the U.S. role in Iraq will be totally about training and advising the Iraqi military to defend itself. It's not clear how many troops will stay in Iraq for that. An internet counterterrorism organization is starting to track more extremist content online. The Global Internet Forum to Counter Terrorism includes 17 companies, including Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and YouTube. So far, it has mostly focused on tracking terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and ISIS. But now, it's going to start cracking down on content from white supremacists and far-right militia groups like the Proud Boys and 3%ers here in the U.S. It's saving their manifestos, PDFs of extremist publications, and URLs URLs to a key database. This is supposed to help tech companies find harmful content that's been flagged elsewhere that might have been posted on multiple platforms. Some of this content can also be used as digital evidence if they detail or show crimes committed in the real world. The tech platforms have long been criticized for letting violent, extremist content spread online, but other people have accused them of overbroad censorship. Much more news ahead, but first, a word about our sponsor, Noom. Here's your main host, Erica Mandy.
Whenever I'm having a hard time making a decision between two choices, I try to always stop and ask myself if there is a third option, a different solution or middle ground that maybe I hadn't thought about before. Well, the same can be true when it comes to health and fitness. There can be a lot of pressure to label certain foods just good or bad, or to follow some strict rules if you want results. Well, Noom feels that just creates unnecessary dilemmas and stress. Instead, Noom wants to change how you see food with a psychology-based approach to building healthier habits. It's not about making you feel guilty or regretful. Noom's cognitive behavioral approach is about better understanding your relationship with food and then empowering you to make healthy choices that work with your lifestyle and can be long-lasting. You get to choose your health goals, and Noom will then personalize a program for you. And Noom only needs a daily 10-minute check-in. So start building better habits for healthier, long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/newsworthy. Again, you can sign up for your trial at Noom, that's spelled Noom.com/newsworthy.
In the face of legal battles, two insurance brokers decided to call off what would have been the largest merger in their industry. Just last year, English company Aon agreed to buy its Irish rival Willis Towers Watson for nearly $30 billion in stock. They're both insurance brokerages that help companies buy insurance and give them advice about managing risk. And together, they said they'd be better equipped to handle risks like cybercrime and climate change. But their merger faced scrutiny from regulators all around the world. And just a little more than a month ago, the U.S. Justice Department sued to block it. It worried the merger would lead to higher prices and less innovation. Now, the companies are bowing to the pressure. Aon says it's paying Willis Towers Watson a $1 billion termination fee, and they'll go back to working separately. Travelers might notice more flights with layovers these days. American Airlines says it's running into fuel shortages at some small and mid-sized airports. So it's planning to add stops to some of its flights to refuel its planes. The airline is also asking pilots to conserve fuel whenever they can. For example, by leaving one engine off when they're taxiing. The issue is there aren't enough tanker trucks or drivers to deliver enough fuel around the country. And the demand for air travel is way up, especially to smaller airports near outdoor tourist attractions. Airports on the West Coast seem to be affected the most. Delta Airlines also said it's running into issues in Reno, Nevada. And Southwest Airlines has added more fuel on some planes to get around shortages at certain airports. By the way, airlines and airports are also still dealing with staffing shortages that have caused delays and even some cancellations. They say they're scrambling to hire and train workers as soon as possible. There's a big shakeup coming in college sports. The University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas are leaving the Big 12. This is a big deal since the Longhorns and Sooners have been Big 12 staples since the 90s, and they're hugely popular. They aren't leaving right away, though. They say they'll stay in the conference until 2025 when their current media deals are set to expire. So what happens after 2025? Both OU and UT are expected to join other powerhouses like LSU, Alabama, and Georgia in the Southeastern Conference, or the SEC. Nothing is set in stone just yet, but if that happens, the SEC would become the largest college sports conference with 16 teams total. So why make the move? Well, the SEC has a huge media rights deal with ESPN, and member schools get huge payouts. Plus, there's some prestige. An SEC team has won the National Football Championship in four of the last six seasons. As for the Big 12, it's probably going to start recruiting new members. Analysts say a couple options could be the University of Houston or Brigham Young University, for example. Or it's possible the conference falls apart completely, and the other Big 12 schools like Texas Tech and Baylor find new conferences to join, too. To be continued. History just keeps getting made at the Tokyo Olympics. For the very first time, an athlete from the Philippines won a gold medal. A woman's weightlifter scored the top prize, breaking her country's 97-year drought. Separately, on Team USA, a 17-year-old high schooler won a gold medal in women's swimming. And this is considered a pretty big upset. Lydia Jacoby is actually the first swimmer from Alaska to ever make the Olympic swimming team. And another American swimmer was expected to win that race, but Jacoby won it by a fraction of a second. Another surprise, an Australian mathematician won a gold medal for cycling. She won her road race 5 years after getting a PhD in mathematics. As of this morning, the U.S. and China are tied for the most medals overall. But there's still a lot more competition ahead. In fact, one of the most anticipated events is the women's gymnastics team final. It's happening early this morning, so you can catch it live at 6:45 a.m. Eastern Time. Or NBC is airing the replay tonight at 8 Eastern. The Norwegian women's beach handball team is getting a lot of attention these days, even though they're not in the Olympics. They're part of a conversation around the world about strict uniform rules. The European Handball Federation says women's handball players need to wear bikini bottoms. And that's the way it is for a lot of professional competitions around the world, even though the men wear shorts. Well, recently, the Norwegian women's team decided to wear shorts too, and they were fined almost $1,800 over it. The team has received a lot of support since then. Most recently, American pop singer Pink offered to pay the team's fine, and she called the rules sexist. It's unclear if the team took her up on the offer, but in the wake of criticism, the European Handball Federation says it's donating the fine to a foundation that supports equality for women and girls in sports. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, here's Erica again with more about our sponsor, HelloFresh.
If you're like me, you can sometimes feel stuck in a rut when it comes to dinner, going back to the same few boring meals over and over again. Well, HelloFresh allows us to switch things up. And I love that HelloFresh's produce gets from the farm to your door in less than a week. So not only do they promise fresh, high-quality ingredients, but that's also been our experience every time. I've loved making and eating meals like sweet potato fajitas with pepper jack and pickled jalapeno, or beef bulgogi meatballs with roasted carrots, ginger rice, and sriracha crema. Oh, and if you love to grill in the summer, HelloFresh now has everything you need, such as grilling bundles, burger packs, surf and turf packs, and more. Whether you choose the vegetarian meals, the Kraft burgers, or extra special gourmet meals, HelloFresh means less prep and minimal cleanup, so you can just enjoy the process of cooking. Go to HelloFresh.com/newsworthy14 and then use that code newsworthy14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/newsworthy14 and use code newsworthy14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping.
Now back to Trivia Tuesday. And we are keeping with the Olympics theme again this week. Today's trivia question is, women were allowed to compete in the modern Olympics starting in what year? Find and follow us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod to play along and find out the answer in our Instagram stories. As for last week's trivia question, which medal makes up most of an Olympic gold medal? The answer is silver. Silver accounts for more than 92% of the materials used to make those first place medals. Gold medals have to be plated with at least 6 grams of pure gold, but that's it. And this year's medals have a unique story to them. The materials came from recycled electronics like old cell phones, digital cameras, and video games. Organizers in Japan collected about 79,000 tons of old devices over 2 years. They were melted down, and the materials were used to make more than 1,000 medals for the Summer Games. All right, thank you for turning to The Newsworthy to get your news each day. As always, we'll be back with more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.